and it's called the Uddhava Gita because in many ways it summarizes many of the points that of course are in Bhagavad Gita, but it also elaborates much more. So it's almost like towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita, a recap of the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and there's some really wonderful chapters we'll be approaching later about devotional service and pure devotional service. But now we are just beginning. We have in the last chapter started talking about Krishna's sort of Maushala Leela. His last pastimes, he's wrapping up his pastimes, he's telling Uddhava how this is all going to come to an end, he's soon going to disappear, and now we are up to text 2. I think we'll just read 2 and then we'll do 3 responsibly since that's 3 has the purport. So, where are we? Somewhere. We can do either one. Give us. Okay, we're on text 2. Let's read it. Maya nishparitam yatra deva karyam sheshata yarartam avitirnoham amshena brahmanartita. Translation. Answering the prayers of Lord Brahma, I descended within this world along with my plenary portion, Lord Baladev, and performed various activities on behalf of the demigods. I have now completed my mission here. So text 3, we'll do responsibly. Kulam vaishapamirdhagdham Nanshat yam yam yavidrahat. This is a difficult one. It took me about 10 times to... Nanshat yat yam yavidrahat. Samudra saptamehenam. Purim cha plava yishyati. Kulam vaishapanirgadham. Nanshatyam yonivigrahat. Samudra saptamehenam. Purim cha plava yishyati. Kulam vaishapanirdhidham. Nanshatyatyonyavigrahat. Samudra saptamehenam. Purim cha plava yishyati.
Kulam vaishapanirdhidham.
Vaishnavis. Shani dynasty. By definitely. Shapa. By the curse. Nirdagham. Finished. Nangshati. Will be destroyed. Anyonya. mutual. Vigrahat, by a quarrel. Samudra, the ocean. Saptame, on the seventh day. He, certainly. Enam, this. Purim, city. Cha, also. Plavayashiti, or inundate. Translation purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Now, due to the Brahmin's curse, the Yadu dynasty will certainly perish by fighting among themselves. And on the seventh day from today, the ocean will rise up and inundate the city of Dwarka. Purport. In this and the following verses, Lord Krishna indicates to Uddhava that he should immediately fix himself in self-realization by giving up all identification with the material world. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that the Yadu dynasty was not actually destroyed by Lord Krishna, but merely removed from the vision of the world through the curse of the Brahmins. Similarly, the Lord's eternal abode, Dwarka, can never be drowned by the ocean. Nevertheless, all external approaches to this transcendental city were covered by the ocean, and thus the Lord's abode remains inaccessible to foolish persons in Kali Yuga, as will be described later in this canto. By the Lord's mystic potency called Yogamaya, he reveals his own form, abode, paraphernalia, pastimes, entourage, and so on. And at the suitable time, he removes all of these from our mundane sight. Although bewildered conditioned souls may doubt the spiritual potency of the Lord, the pure devotees can directly perceive and relish his transcendental appearance and disappearance, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as Janma Karma Chame Divyam. If one faithfully accepts this perfect knowledge of the Lord's transcendental nature, then surely one will go back home, back to Godhead, and become an eternal companion of Lord Krishna. Om Jnanati Brandisha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksuru Mutamina Tasma Shigurave Namaha Vanchakalpatibhyascha Kripasindhubhyebhyascha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Krishna tells Uddhava that he's leaving this world. He's wrapping up his pastimes. He's come and performed everything he needed to do. And now he is ending the Yadu dynasty. The city of Dwarka will be inundated by the ocean, which of course we know happened. I'm not going to go into it, but apparently they're finding Dwarka under the ocean now, modern archaeologists. So it's all there, as stated here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, but it's also mentioned here in the purport that now Uddhava should begin his renunciation of the world. Of course, Uddhava is already a pure devotee, totally renounced, but Krishna is really saying, oh, we are wrapping this all up. You need to renounce. You know, he later just renounces everything, travels, and of course, before that happens, Krishna will instruct Uddhava in all spiritual knowledge so he can also pass that on. So it's described here how Krishna reveals his pastimes and how he covers up his pastimes. He covers his form, his abode of pastimes, so that mundane people cannot really understand what he is doing. Example sometimes given of the spider and its web. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.28, the verse says, O master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, I condensed this a little bit, it's a longer purport, by a combination of such potencies of the Lord, there is a manifestation of creation, maintenance, and annihilation in due course of time by different agents like Brahma, etc. But all such agents and creative energies are emanations from the Lord, and as such, there is nothing except the Lord or the one supreme source of different diversities. The example is given of the spider and the spider's web. The web is created by the spider, and is maintained by the spider, and as soon as the spider likes, the whole thing is wound up within the spider. The spider is covered within the web. If an insignificant spider is so powerful as to act according to its will, Why can't the Supreme Being, by His supreme will, in the creation, maintenance, and destruction, why can't the Supreme Being act by His supreme will in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestations? So, very nice example, the spider and the web. The spider is creating, maintaining the web, draws back the web when he wants to, but he also appears to be covered by the web, although he maintains complete control of that web. So that's the position of Krishna within this material world. So the nature of Krishna's pastimes are often covered to our eyes. And in fact, as described in Bhagavad Gita, the one who understands the appearance and disappearance of Krishna can become free from this material world and go back to Godhead. But God is not so easily seen unless He chooses to reveal Himself. Bhagavad Gita 7:25 says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I'm unborn and infallible. So this internal potency of Yoga Maya is responsible for both revealing Krishna to devotees, but also covering Krishna to for the non-devotees, so that they are not able to understand Him or see Him. So our vision is covered by Krishna, and it's Krishna's own potency that covers it. Another nice example that Prabhupada gives is the example of the clouds and the sun. The sun, you know, comes down. The rays of the sun on the ocean or a large body of water, what does it do? It evaporates the water. And that evaporation water sometimes causes a fog or a cloud. Now, that cloud or fog will cover our vision of the sun. We can't see the sun because of the cloud. And then sometimes, later in the day, you'll see the sun will burn away that cloud and then reveal itself. So in the same way, Krishna's Yoga Maya covers Krishna from our vision. But that covering is coming from Krishna, just like the covering of cloud is actually coming from the sun's evaporating the water. So by his same energy, just as the sun burns away the cloud or the fog, Krishna can reveal himself to us. You know, so Krishna is that sun that can reveal himself. And of course, when the sun comes up, say when the sun comes up in the morning, what is the sun, what is revealed? First, you know, in the first dawning in the morning, you start seeing everything around you, like the material energy. Then you can see yourself. And eventually you see the sun itself when it's fully risen. So the devotee begins to understand through the process of devotional service the material energy, when one understands oneself, and then eventually one understands Krishna as Bhagavan. So the process by which Krishna reveals himself, by which we're able to understand, of course, is bhakti. Bhakti is that purifying process that qualifies us to see Krishna. Krishna says, bhakti mam avajananti yavanishchasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvatogyatva vishite tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. It's very similar. That's 1855. 1152 is a very similar verse. Anyway, in the purport 1152, Prabhupada says, Krishna is covered by his yoga maya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness, and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes open and can see Krishna by revelation. Anyway, a familiar point. By our own activities, we are not going to be able to force Krishna, Krishna come before me, let me see you. No. Krishna is seen when he chooses by his own sweet will to reveal himself to his devotee. So Krishna's pastimes, his activities, all the wonderful things that he does when he comes to this world and performs his activities in Dwarka and Mathura and, of course, Vrindavan, they cannot be understood easily by our material experience. They don't really compare to anything else, to things that we know and things that we experience through our senses and through our mind. And they also cannot be really understood through the process of rationality and logic. They are beyond that. And so they appear somewhat mystical or miraculous. And of course, the revelation of that mysterious and miraculous activity by the Lord comes to us through the descending process, the descending process of parampara, as Krishna reveals himself to his pure devotees down through the line of disciplic succession to the devotees. There's a real nice verse in purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada sort of explains this, how this revelation comes through the descending process. This is Adilila 152. Yapanaham yata bhavo yadrupa gunakarmaka hitayava tatva vijnanam astute mad anugraha. That sounds like Sanskrit, not Bengali. I'm not sure. He must be quoting. Usually it's quoting another verse from another scripture when it's Sanskrit. Anyway. Okay, this is from the Bhagavatam, that part? Thank you. Yeah, because Prabhupada talks about, okay, so, yeah, thank you very much. So, the translation, by my causeless mercy, be enlightened in truth about my personality, manifestation, qualities, and pastime. So this is right before Krishna's revealing himself to Lord Brahma. Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense. Thank you. So, anyway, the important part here was Srila Prabhupada's purport. The transcendental personal forms of the Lord are a mystery. And the symptoms of these forms, which are absolutely different from anything made of the mundane elements, are also mysterious. The innumerable forms of the Lord, such as Shamasundar, Narayan, Ram, Gaurasundar, his qualities as the responsive personality of Godhead to pure devotees, and as the impersonal Brahman to dry speculators, his uncommon activities like lifting Govardhan Hill, marrying more than 16,000 queens at Dwarka, and entering the Rasa dance with the damsels of Raja, expanding himself in as many forms as there were damsels in the dance. These and the innumerable other uncommon acts and attributes are all mysteries. The truth of these mysteries was revealed to Brahma by the descending process without the help of the ascending one. The Lord's mercy descends to a devotee like Brahma, and through Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Sukadev, and so on in the bona fide chain of disciplic succession. We cannot discover the mysteries of the Lord by our mundane endeavors. They are only revealed by His grace to the proper devotees. So here we see how Krishna has revealed Himself to Brahma and down to the disciplic succession to today through Srila Prabhupada to us. Now, one last line of this purport is very important. Prabhupada says, these mysteries are gradually disclosed to the various grades of devotees in proportion to the gradual development of their service attitude. Again, going back to that familiar point, that is through bhakti that Krishna is revealed. But here Prabhupada is saying something a little bit more. He's saying proportionately, to the degree that we develop our service attitude, to that degree Krishna reveals himself little by little. You know, till eventually when one becomes completely pure in one's service attitude, one is able to completely see Krishna and understand Krishna directly. So it's kind of an interesting discussion how Prabhupada talks about these miraculous activities of the Lord or this mystery. Because really, I mean, after all, how can we understand Krishna on his little finger lifting Govardhan Hill, lifting a huge mountain of, you know, millions of pounds or whatever? How can we understand Krishna expanding himself into 16,000 forms? These are mysteries, or they're, you might say they're miracles. So he's thinking about, what does it mean? What is it when we encounter something that seems miraculous in this world? I was thinking there's really two kinds. Excuse me. One kind of miraculous activity is when we extend natural laws, or the subtle energy influences the gross material energy. And we see that through like yogic powers, yoga cities. I don't know if he's still around, but there used to be this Guru Sai Baba. See, I don't know if he's still around or not. Okay, no comment. Anyway, he was, Prabhupada described him as a cheater. Because he would do things though, he had yogi powers, he actually did. He was able to make incense come out from a picture and things like that. You know, like you think, why doesn't he cure cancer or something? But anyway, if he has these powers, he manifests incense and flowers and things like this. This is basically using subtle energies to be able to manipulate the material energy in certain ways, which is beyond what most people can do. Therefore, it seems like a miracle. But there's another type of miracle, which is when the spiritual energy works directly within this material world. And that's what we see in some of the activities of pure devotees. How things happen to them which are, you know, more or less miraculous, could not happen in the material world, but it's not through their yogic power. It is by Krishna performing miraculous activity through his yoga maya potency. One real winner, for example, of this is Madhavendra Puri, whose today is, of course, his disappearance. I was thinking, actually, in Mayapur, we saw this very, very nice play that Bhakti Marg Swami put on with a lot of young people there. It's called Mr. Puri or something. It was actually a story of Madhavendra Puri. And what's interesting about Madhavendra Puri, now, of course, he's known to be the spiritual master of Ishvara Puri, so he's the great, grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's also known for really developing Radha Krishna worship and the Madhurya Rasa within Vaishnavism. But what's also interesting is the miraculous things associated with Madhavendra Puri. In fact, there were two different deities. Sometimes we hear about stories, some miraculous thing with some devotee in relation to the deities, but it happened twice with Madhavendra Puri. First with his Gopal deity, that Krishna came to him as a coward, as a small child, and he revealed to him, please, I'm in the dirt, I'm in the mud, I'm cold, I'm out in the woods. You know, please come and save, get me. So Madhavendra Puri came and actually, by Krishna's directions, excavated the deity of Gopal. And then, of course, he set up the worship in the temple for his Gopal deity. Very miraculous thing that Krishna had revealed himself. And then Gopal tells him, I'm really hot. I need sandalwood to cure my fever. And he had to go hundreds of miles. And it wasn't by Air India. He had to go hundreds of miles walking, you know, to try to go to find sandalwood. And on his way back, he's dragging on. He's not a young man either. He comes to Ramuna? No, what's this? What is it?
Ramuna.
Ramuna, where there is the Gopinath deity. And of course, it's a long story, but basically, he thought in his mind, he'd heard about this wonderful sweet rice or this sheer that was made for the deity. He said, no, if I could just, maybe if I got some Mahaprasadam and I could taste that, I could learn how to offer this to my Gopal deity. So, and then it became very, oh, what an impure thought. I was thinking about tasting the maha before it's offered. I mean, you know, he was completely pure. All he wanted to do was offer it to his own deity. But still, he left immediately. He went off and out in the village in a market and hid in one of those little stalls or something. And what happened, of course, is the Bajari came and the deity of Gopinath revealed, or was it in the dream? Anyway, he revealed to the Bajari that I have hidden, you took all the maha, but I hid one pot. And give that pot to this great saint, Madhavendra Puri. And of course, it was just amazing. Bajari went and he found the pot, just as the deity had told him. So he went running to the marketplace. Where is Madhavendra Puri? It is so incredible, so wonderful. Krishna, Gopinath, has stolen this pot of sheer to give to you. And so, of course, it's called Sheer Chora Gopinath. And, who stole? Because he stole the Shira from Madhavendra Puri. You know, Madhavendra Puri was very humble. He left immediately. He didn't want name and fame. He didn't want people to recognize him as this, you know, great saint like that. And of course, then later, Gopinath reveals to him, says, you don't have to take all the sandalwood all the way back to Gopal. He says, Gopal and I are the same. You know, we're both Krishna. You can just leave it here and have the sandalwood given to me. So, you know, another miracle, where Krishna's revealing himself to Madhavendra Puri. So these are the type of wonderful, miraculous things that happen to Vaishnavas. So, at any rate, Krishna reveals himself through this descending process of parampara. Prabhupada says, these mysteries are gradually disclosed to the various grades of devotees in proportion to the gradual development of their service attitude. And of course, there's the verse in the Sritashvatara Upanishad, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So that ties into how do we develop the service attitude, which is necessary for being able to understand Krishna, and eventually Krishna will reveal himself to us. So we have to serve Krishna and the Guru, as explained in this verse. So when we talk about service, service is not impersonal. Service is not something in my mind. Service is action. Of course, it can be action with the mind, the words, and with the physical body, with all of our senses. But it means towards someone. Service isn't just like a state of being, I am in a service attitude. Service means actively acting towards Krishna or the devotees. And because, we can serve Krishna directly on the altar, but if we don't have that opportunity, or, you know, that's not something we all do all the time, we serve Krishna through his devotees. And Krishna is very, very pleased by that. Krishna is more pleased by service to his devotees than the service to himself. So we want to associate favorably with all levels of devotees. This, of course, described in Nectar Instruction, verse 5. Says one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation and engages in the worship of the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviating devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So there's, of course, many places where we hear about the different classes of devotees and how to serve with those devotees. But in all cases, it's an attitude of service. You know, I always say this whenever I come up to this point, so it's one of my theme songs. But at no point in these verses or in these purports does it say, well, this class of devotee you should disregard. This class of devotee you should, you know, be, you know, contemptuous of. Or this class of devotee you shouldn't even like. No. We serve the devotee, the more developed, more advanced one is, the more, as we're hearing, the more one's service attitude is developing, and therefore, the more advanced the devotee is, the more he wants to serve everyone. Leading to a point, of course, the topmost devotee, the Uttama Adhikari, sees everyone, as servant of Krishna, because they are. Every living entity in their constitutional position is eternal servant of Krishna. With perfect spiritual vision, we see that everyone is a devotee of Krishna, except myself. I'm very fallen, but everybody else is a servant of Krishna. So the Madhyama Adhikari, which is the position Prabhupada said we should be striving for, doesn't necessarily act on that vision or have that vision all the time, but we try to do these things. You know, to offer assistance and service and help and compassion to those who are new or not so advanced or non-devotees. We try to, we offer obeisances to and we serve and associate favorably with those on a similar level. We make friendships with the devotees. And for those who are very advanced, we serve them faithfully. Those pure devotees, we serve, we give our life to. So sometimes you might think, well, that's all very nice. What about non-devotees, those who are not devotees? Of course, first of all, every living entity is a devotee. That's the Sanatana, you know, that's the original Sarup, the Sanatana. Every living entity is a devotee. Some have remembered that they are devotees and are attempting to serve and perform sadhana bhakti, devotional service, and many out there have forgotten. Some have forgotten for a long time. You know, and, well, because these trees and plants, I shouldn't say out here, these are probably all very special, the plants that get the association of hearing kirtan. But you go a few miles away and you see, you know, there's billions of living entities who are very, very covered by the material energy. But the service attitude of the devotee is one that wants to bring every class of living entity closer to Krishna. Right? What was Prabhupada's main service? To bring Krishna consciousness to the world, right? To get the world to chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, and become devotees of Krishna. So our service to our guru is the same. We try to assist in that service of bringing Krishna consciousness to everyone. So one of the seven purposes of ISKCON, actually one of the main ones, the first ones that Srila Prabhupada gave us, was to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna. So we want everyone to come nearer to Krishna. If someone is out in the material world and they have no knowledge of Krishna, maybe we just say Hare Krishna to them, or you know, whatever it might be, or some opportunity, or try to give a shot. For one who is a devotee, you know, we try to help that devotee, you know, befriend that devotee, and they befriend us, and we help each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we want to come closer to Krishna, we want to come closer to our guru, we want to increase the quality of that service, we want to associate favorably with the devotees, and we want to help others who are not yet devotees to come closer to Krishna. So we have an opportunity to associate favorably with devotees. This society that Prabhupada has given us gives us that opportunity. And we also want to individually cultivate favorable association. In, where is it? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25 says, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is free. And his attraction becomes fixed, then real devotional service begins. In Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura's purport to that verse, he says, only by association with devotees does the mind develop attraction to the Lord. The stages are described. The previous verse mentioned that association should be desired. First, faith arises. From excellent association of the devotees, stories of my pastimes become nectar for the ears. From inferior association, there is only bhajana kriya, but the stories do not become nectar. Thus, from excellent association, the stories cause anartha nivritti. Then those stories cause nishta, ruchi, and apta prema. So what does that mean? At least what I got from this, I think it's a very important concept, that there is a little bit of difference in association that we take and receive. We should favorably associate with all devotees. But he's talking about inferior association. In other words, with devotees who are not very advanced, or who are not on the process of anartha nivritti, who are not, say, following the principles or cleansing themselves, you know, in the process of devotional service, one cannot go beyond vajana kriya. In other words, one might appreciate hearing and chanting, but does not raise the level of anartha nivritti, where the purification of the heart comes about. That purification of the heart comes about with those called, the Sanskrit is pra, I don't know exactly what, which means excellent association of devotees. In other words, with advanced devotees, with that association, we become inspired to the process of purification, a process of anartha nivritti, and then leading to nishta, to becoming steady in Krishna consciousness. So it's kind of like two aspects. One is while we try to serve favorably all levels of devotees, we should also seek out advanced association to help us personally become more advanced and purified in the heart. Okay. Out of time. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Any comments or questions? If you're okay, we'll start with Hari Parayan, Prabhu.
What is the most
I'm sorry? The last one from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. There's actually a real nice purport by Srila Prabhupada to that too. I just read a little bit from part from Vishnu Chakravarti's. Yeah, let me see. I don't have it written down here, but I'm sure it's 3:25-25. Right. Okay.
Yeah, just another reference question. That service attitude in Krishna reveals according to service attitude that came from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. That was Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 152. Yeah. That was, yeah, Prabhupada's purport to Adi 152. Anything else? Friend of mine?
I was just thinking that Madhavendra Puripad, when he was old, it appears like, as you nicely described, that he had a darshan of Gopal, and he was instructed by Gopal, then again instructed by Virchara Gopinath. And yet, when he was old age, he appeared like invalid. He could not move. He had to pass stool and urine on the bed. And Prabhupada explained that sometimes spiritual masters are put into this category. It should not be seen in mundane way. And because his disciple did not have an opportunity to serve him. And how, just so because you are focusing in the class, how we should be really participate in devotional service. So he said that was the opportunity that Ishwar Puri actually served him very intimately.
Yeah.
And at that point, Madhavendra Puripad prayed one time, "Oh my Lord, this Ishwar Puri is serving so nicely, and I'm so invalid, I cannot do anything. Please give him your mercy." And he embraced. Immediately, Ishwar Puri came down with ecstatic symptom.
Yeah.
And then later on, he transferred that one to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. And in the contrast was his other disciple,
Ramachandra.
Ramachandra, right, who, anyway, displeased the spiritual master, and basically Madhavendra Puri told, "Get him out of my sight," because he was trying to instruct him, you know, and he didn't understand the mood of separation of Madhavendra Puri. And the Ishwar Puri gave, as you say, gave this wonderful example, that is service attitude. In other words, even, you know, mundane, cleaning his spiritual master, taking care of him in this last year. In other words, he was given Krishna Prema by Madhavendra Puri, not because of his intellectual, how many verses he knew like that, but because of his service attitude. So again, that is how we become advanced and how Krishna reveals himself to us. Okay, she's probably in there. Thank you all so much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.